from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Royteam.
Good morning. Happy Thursday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm good. I'm looking forward to 947 today.
I'm looking forward to it, too. We are going to find out, first of all, how you fared without your phone for a couple of hours.
Uh-huh.
And your wallet.
Yes.
Where you left both of those valuable items.
In the Costco parking lot down in Puyallup.
Yeah, so you left him there, and then someone found him, and you're going to introduce us to them.
That person is going to join our show. This person went through so many hoops to make sure that I found my wallet and my phone. And so she is going to be joining the show at 9:47, and we'll get to talk to her, and you get to ask all the questions that you want her.
Well, I've got a lot of questions, and so do our listeners, because we just had a conversation about this about a week ago.
What's that?
You were giving someone a bad time for offering applesauce as a reward. So we want to see what it is that you are going to do for your guardian angel.
I'm a thanker. I'm going to thank her. Thank you.
Yeah. Our listeners have receipts, and they're going to hold you to them.
You know what? Receipts?
Yes.
We got some petty listeners. That's petty.
All right.
Let's get to it. Ursula's top five news stories of the day, brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
As of this morning, we are officially in a fourth coronavirus wave in Washington.
Our disease levels are where they were in early November. That's the bad news. The good news is the slope of the increase is not as steep as it was in November.
Lacey Fehrenbach is one of the leaders of the state's COVID response. Even though meeting outside is safer, she says too many people have been enjoying the recent nice weather in large groups without masks. And Pierce County, as you know, has already been rolled back to phase two. King and Snohomish counties are in danger of going backwards as well and facing more restrictions.
But there's a yeah, but attached. There is a yeah, but. The yeah, but, yeah, the cases have increased. And yeah, they are at the same levels that they were in November. But the hospitalizations is not at the same level as it was in November.
Yes, that's the good news.
The death rate isn't where it was in November. So when we're talking about those things, you attach that to the yeah, but. And oh, yeah, by the way, those 65 and older, which were part of our most vulnerable population, most of them, a little over half of them, are vaccinated in this state. Ursula, I'm just trying to soften the blow. You taught me this, okay?
Yes. So, and I'm going to continue on that. So we do know that the case increases are happening in the younger age groups because they have not yet been vaccinated. But I am going to join you, and I'm going to focus on the good news this morning. So if you are not already aware, everyone 60 and older, if you live or work in King County, you can actually now walk into the city's vaccination hubs. One's in West Seattle, the other's in Rainier Beach, and you can get vaccinated without an appointment. Here's another bit of good news. The city has launched this Good Neighbor program. So one of the things that we have talked about is that older adults, let's say maybe who are technically challenged, are having a hard time getting those appointments. So anyone who is 16 or older who brings in someone 60 or older can walk into these same two sites without an appointment, and both can actually get vaccinated. And then in Pierce County, you heard Heather mention this, where, as you know, cases are still going up and you're already back in phase two.
Okay.
This mass vaccination site at the Tacoma Dome is going to be running for 6 straight weeks starting next Tuesday. And that's not just for Pierce County. That's for anyone. The goal is to get nearly 1,200 people vaccinated every day. They're going to be offering the Pfizer vaccine. So, again, that's going to be good for everyone 16 and older. And you can find your information at or sign up at covidshot.com.
Hey, Ursula.
Yes.
Can you ask Governor Jay Inslee if he can do this? Make a concession. Yes, there is cases that have been increased. But instead of this, quote, rollback where it harms the restaurants and gyms, how about he says, okay, look, I know the cases are going up. I do know that the majority of these cases that are growing up are from younger generations, right? And we know that these are for some of the for some of these gatherings that are letting their guard down, if you will. And Governor Jay Inslee says you need to, quote, take it outside, which, okay, cool. So if that's the case, and we hospitalizations is down, the death rates are down, can we just hold off a little bit and just kind of let it continue to roll, Ursula?
He's going to have a news conference today. I don't know if he's going to mention any of that, but that would be the hope. Right,
okay.
Now, 38% of our state's population have had at least one shot. 26% are fully vaccinated. Mm-hmm. So maybe if enough people get vaccinated and the cases don't go up, maybe we can get lucky. But again, I want to focus on the positive, because even though the case rates are going up, it's not as steep as a climb as it was last November.
Right.
And there are going to be more options for you to get your shots. So this has been a summer highlight for decades. Okay, that is the sound of rumbling of hydroplanes on Lake Washington, but you're not going to be hearing that this summer. No Blue Angels or fireworks either. The annual Summer Seafair Festival is going to be mostly online, just as it was last year, because of the pandemic. Spokesman Patrick Harrison says seafair events have to be planned months ahead of time.
You know, we have to plan for the phase that we're in, not for the phase that we hope to be this summer.
And he points out again that right now, large gatherings, even outside, are being discouraged.
This is terrible. Didn't Governor Jay Inslee, what was his quote? What did he say?
Take it outside.
He said, take it outside. Where's seafair, Ursula?
Mostly outside. Outside.
Okay. That's number one. Number two, you can't just keep take. Sometimes you got to give folks something.
Now, this is not a decision by Governor Inslee, though. This is seafair deciding, you know what? We're not going to take the chance that we have all these things planned for the summer and then there is that rollback and then what? That's a lot of money. It's a lot of money to say the Blue Angels, you know, and everything that goes into the Blue Angels coming here. That's a lot of money.
And so seafair is making that decision based on the decisions of not knowing if there's going to be this rollback.
Right.
So you mean to tell me if someone who makes that decision here in this state can maybe give them a vote of confidence and say, hey, you know what? Go ahead and make it happen. Ursula, I'm just not excited about this. And sometimes you got to give some type of reward. There has to be a sense of give and take. And you're just taking from all angles in this case.
The weird thing is, as people have pointed out, we are having games. We are having 7,000 people gather at stadiums. We are having certain large events. So the science doesn't necessarily apply. You know, that's what makes it so confusing.
Are you starting to come around, Ursula?
I'm starting to. There was something that I heard yesterday that I thought we need to have a better explanation for a couple of things.
What happened?
We're going to actually have an expert. We had. Do you remember Dr. Peter Rabinowitz from the University of Washington?
Yes.
He was one of
the
first people we talked about. I want to ask him this question because I heard Dr. Fauci on an exchange with Jim Jordan. And it was that day that Jordan was basically really hitting him with some hard questions, probably going a little too crazy just in trying to make a point. There's a lot of theatrics involved. However, he did ask and did point out that there are states that don't have mask mandates and don't have these severe restrictions that are doing really well. And we explained the Texas thing, but there are other states that are doing well, too. And Michigan was pointed out as, hey, they're doing horribly. Why is it? And Dr. Fauci said, well, it's because they have strong mandates and restrictions, but people aren't following the rules. So I'm thinking, okay, what exactly does that mean? Is there a better explanation? So I think as long as we're asking people to do all these things and taking away, we need to also make sure that the explanations make sense. College tuition would be free for many Americans, and a tax on Wall Street trades would pay for it under a bill introduced by Seattle Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal and Senator Bernie Sanders. This bill would make community college tuition free for everyone, and four-year public colleges tuition-free and debt-free for students from families making up to $125,000 a year. Jayapal says this move would free students from a lifetime of debt, invest in working people, and transform higher education across America. What do you think?
Good news. Ursula, wait, I can hear, as you were reading the news, and I'm getting good at Ursula speak, you were reading the news, and I could feel your energy.
Uh-huh.
I could feel that you were in agreement with this. Am I wrong?
I am in agreement with it. However,
I understand. Oh, come on. I thought I had you.
There's always, I want to know more about this tax. The thing that you have to realize, and we all have to realize, is that nothing comes for free. So, yes, college tuition would be free. And I envy those countries where, like Germany, my niece is going to college. She's actually going to her second college. And tuition is like equivalent of $50 per semester. But on the other hand, they pay, their tax rate is enormous.
Yeah, they do pay some taxes.
Yes.
And, one thing we don't want to do, we don't want big corporations here to pay their fair share of taxes.
You're being facetious.
No, we can't have that.
Okay, so in this case, this bill would be paid for by a tax on some Wall Street trades. And apparently Senator Sanders is going to introduce a bill known as the Tax on Wall Street Speculation Act. And it would put a 0.5% tax on stock trades and a 0.1% tax on bonds. That part actually doesn't sound so bad for me.
Okay.
You know, I mean, why not the people who have all that extra cash help? There needs to be moves toward making education much more affordable. I think it needs to start with the colleges not charging these premium prices for tuition. That's out of control.
And also, there needs to be more of a conversation. Because one thing about the G and Ursula show, we bring up trade schools a lot.
Yes.
Hey, boys and girls, you guys are in school. Hey, think about maybe a trade school. Find out what it is you're passionate in. Maybe it's something you might get to go and you'll be making money in less than 2 years, having an opportunity to do that. Instead of just going the whole 4 year route where you're paying, or excuse me, you pull out that student loan. And by the way, the interest rate on that, that just stays there forever. So go ahead and think about trade school.
Absolutely. Lauren Culp wants another crack at elected office. The former Republican gubernatorial candidate is now challenging Representative Dan Newhouse for the 4th District seat, which covers much of central Washington. Culp is a Trump supporter who lost by a wide margin to Governor Inslee, but then spent months falsely claiming that the outcome was rigged and that thousands of people had voted illegally.
Mm-hmm.
Newhouse, as you might recall, is one of 10 members of the House GOP who voted to impeach Trump.
Well, I'm fine with these two running against each other. I'm perfectly fine. I just wonder if the GOP is going to be fine with this, because this is going to be something to where it will help with this split and this divide. And that split and divide is, and here's the truth, and this is something maybe we can ask Michael Medved when he comes on to the show tomorrow. The truth is this. In the GOP, in that party, there are those that are staunch Trump supporters, and then there are those that aren't. And in this case, the opponent for the person that Lauren Culp would be running against was one who actually wanted Trump to be, didn't he say something about Trump during that time?
Yeah, so he voted for impeachment. So the point is that this would be a defining moment for Washington State GOP.
Yes.
And you will see, once you see, Lauren Culp had a very passionate following. He lost handily against Governor Inslee, but he had a very passionate following.
No doubt.
And I don't hear a whole lot about Dan Newhouse, I must say. And yes, he covers central Washington. And the first time he made the news here, anyway, was how he voted. I think he needs to raise his profile. He's been in office for a while now, and you don't hear a whole lot about him. But right now, I believe, Lauren Culp has much more name recognition because of his stance on refusing to enforce the voter pass gun control initiative and some of the comments he made during his campaign, including this one.
So to clarify, our founding fathers hated democracy because democracy is mob rule. When the majority rules, the minority is trampled on, right? We see that all the time. So to clarify, we are not a democracy. We are a republic. But heading down the road of a democracy, you know, we're told all the time by politicians and people on TV that we are a democracy. The problem with democracy, and you can look at quotes from infamous Chinese leaders like Mao Zedong, Mikhail Gorbachev, they love democracy because it's a step towards socialism, which is a step towards communism.
Okay, that one was a head scratcher, but he was very popular among some circles because he said he would end the mandatory mask orders and he would completely open the state. And that was many months ago when he was running. Okay, last story. No need for cash, no need for a credit card, or even Apple Pay at a Whole Foods in Seattle. Amazon is testing out its biometric technology that lets you pay for your stuff by scanning the palm of your hand. And though you still have to scan your purchases, these palm prints are linked to credit cards, so you won't have to do any hand-to-hand or hand-to-machine contact. The system is called Amazon One. It is already in use at Amazon's brick-and-mortar bookstores, and the company is planning to roll it out to 7 more Whole Foods stores around the state.
You know what? If I was able to go and pay for my purchases yesterday at the Costco over there in Puyallup, and I would have been able to use my palm, then I wouldn't have lost my wallet. And we'll talk about that at 9:47. And as far as with this Amazon store, I like it, Ursula. I like technology. I like the ability to be able to go pay for things with the palm, and it's easy. How do you like this?
I think this is probably just for my son's generation. I'm going to guess. Not to sound like get off my lawn, but...
You did. You sounded that way.
I still don't even like scanning my own shopping items. I don't even like to do self-checkout. So, and I'm still incensed that when I went to an Amazon bookstore, they wouldn't take my cash. So, right. I don't know. I don't know about this. Still ahead, is King County going to be the first to ban the government's use of facial recognition technology? We're going to talk about that next. And then around 15 minutes from now, you got to tune in when we introduce you to G's guardian angel. You are listening to the G and Ursula Show. Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show. Thank you so much for hanging out with us this morning. Facial recognition technology is back in the news today. It is considered one of the most powerful surveillance tools ever made. It's the software that maps, analyzes, and then confirms the identity of a face in a picture or a video. It could be what you are using right now to unlock your phone or sort your pictures. But companies and governments are also using that same technology. And King County could now become the first government in the nation to ban the use of this technology. And Cairo Radio's Hannah Scott is here to tell us why.
The technology, which is often used by police, has led to an increased outcry across the nation. Here in our state, a new law is set to kick in July that would limit the use of facial recognition technology by government agencies. But King County Councilmember Jeannie Cole Wells thinks the county should go even further and ban its use altogether.
How much surveillance power by a government do we need? Do we really need to track people by their race? Do we need really to profile and monitor people based on really secret algorithms? And do we really need to create databases that can be exploited by ICE?
Several people who came to share their thoughts at yesterday's meeting agreed.
This technology poses unprecedented privacy, civil liberties, and equity concerns.
Who in a free society wants to have the only means of opting out of the surveillance is by never leaving one's home.
The ACLU came to explain the exact issues.
This technology disproportionately misidentifies people of color, women, trans people, and non-binary people, supercharging discrimination.
Jake Parker is with the Security Industry Association, and he tells Cairo 7 TV the tech from the leading companies doesn't have a bias problem. And he warns that this ban is a mistake that could lead to concerning consequences.
It also would ban important applications of the technology that really have nothing to do with surveillance including use of the tools available to law enforcement to help find missing children who are involved in human trafficking.
That's a similar debate to what we heard in the legislature as it debated the new law set to kick in July. Regardless, Cole Wells, firm on her position.
I'm just too concerned about all that could go wrong with what we have now. And it is our most vulnerable and already marginalized populations that are suffering disproportionality from its application now. So I feel very strongly about this. Take this step and impose a ban.
A preliminary vote on this in the King County Council could come in the next couple of weeks.
And Hannah Scott joins us live now. Hey, Hannah.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. So I understand the concerns, but are there any specific instances or cases that can be brought up here in King County where this technology was abused? Is there any evidence actually of that?
Not in King County, but there's been, I believe, three lawsuits to date. The third one just filed on the 13th of this month. This involves a case in Detroit from back in 2018 where a man who was driving home at the time of a shoplifting incident at a mall was misidentified and held for 30 hours. A black man was misidentified because the cops basically relied on the store's security or facial recognition technology. Their security footage, and then the cops used their facial recognition software to identify this man wrongly. He was nowhere near the store when it happened. So that's the concern, and I think it's overwhelmingly been the push for that. On top of the fact that that technology has been moving so fastly, I think various jurisdictions feel like they haven't been able to keep up. So that's why you see people acting.
I think this, like most things, right, when it comes to technology, the vast majority of us, we really have no idea about the dangers of technology just in general. And so putting it on us to understand that is kind of tough. So it's kind of good for the experts. But Hannah, let me ask you this. With the potential of this ban, I mean, do you actually foresee that if the ban is put in place here in King County, that it will actually stand and continue throughout time? Because I don't think so.
I think it's possible. I think, again, you heard in this debate yesterday, her talking about doing this for racial equity, which is a very big driver of any kind of legislation passing at any level right now. There could be some legal challenges. I know 12 cities in the U.S. have banned it already, and I don't know that there's any legal actions because of that. So I would lean towards the yes, but you could be right, G. Scott. I could be wrong.
Hannah Scott, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much for bringing this to light. And I got to just say, G, when I hear this, and I understand the concerns, but I also understand how this technology can be so helpful, and it is everywhere.
Okay, hear your boy out, okay? First of all, this whole facial recognition, let me tell you what happened. About 2 years ago, I think it was Aaron Mason and I, we had this conversation. And I was like, hey, I'm all for it. And that was before we had an expert on at the time, Ursula, to help us understand the dangers of it. So then it kind of got me because I didn't know a lot of these things. And that's why I said sometimes a lot of this technology that is happening, we really, us common folks really don't understand what can happen. However, I say this all the time. In this case, it's true. The toothpaste is already outside of the tube.
100%.
You're not going to get this back in. And here's what I mean by that. You asked Hannah just a second ago, hey, can you give us some things that happen here locally where it's been a problem? And let's be real. There hasn't been that many problems. There's been problems
that
outside
we know of.
Okay, that we know of.
Yes.
But on the flip side of things, it has helped with some things, right? Like,
yes. They're considering it one of the most powerful surveillance tools. And again, I think that maybe the action should be, let's make sure it's not abused.
Right.
Instead of let's never use this ever.
Now, it does have, Ursula, it does have a troubled record. Now, the facial recognition technology in identifying darker skinned people, this is true. And youth, this poses severe dangers for people that are far too often criminalized. So you have that aspect of it. This is something that, Ursula, I'm going to tell you, I don't care what King County says. I don't care what anybody says. Oh, we're going to have a ban here. This is not going away. Now, they might take it away. They might take it away from some of those in the private sector where you might not be able to use it. Like, for an example, if you walk into a gas station or something like that, they might not be able to do it. And you can also see the data breaches that can come of this, right? Like, some people's information can be taken from facial recognition. So there's all kinds of things that are going to have to be tweaked, but I don't think it'll ever go away.
Yeah. Okay, still ahead. I am so looking forward to our next guest.
Yes.
Because she's going to share the story of how she found your wallet and your cell phone and how she tracked you down.
Folks are saying they got receipts, Ursula.
Yeah, that's the part that I just cannot wait. And I'm going to give you a bad time as to how you forgot it and what you should have been wearing at Costco that would not have allowed this to happen. You are listening to the G and Ursula Show.
It is the G and Ursula Show. Happy Thursday to all of you. Yesterday, down at the Costco in Puyallup, my son Zion and I, we journeyed there to go and pick up a few things. Wanted to go and get there around 5 in the evening. We went to go do this. Well, Zion and I were talking in the store, Ursula, and we were in a deep conversation. Mm. Paid for the stuff, left, put my cart back in the deal where it goes, where you return the cart outside in the parking lot.
Good for you.
Got into the car, and I left. And Zion and I, we head home. We're still in this conversation. We get home. I start making dinner and all that stuff. And we're still talking and having dinner. And Zion's phone rings. And it's Lillian calling Zion's phone. And I see that. And he puts it on speaker. And this, I'm looking, why would she be calling him? I realize, wait a minute, where's my phone? And she says, hey, do you have your phone? I'm well, obviously not. Well, come to find out, I had left my phone and my wallet in that cart. And a guardian angel found that wallet and cell phone. And she joins the G and Ursula Show now. Michelle Koke, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Nice to talk to you again.
Yeah, for sure. So, Kate, take us back. What happened? How did you come to find my stuff?
Well, the same as you. I just, done my shopping, bought way more than I was supposed to, and returned my card. And as I pushed it in, I saw the wallet and phone sitting right on top of it. It was almost like not even, I was surprised it wasn't on the ground. Because you probably pushed it in, it popped up and just sat on the top. And so I was like, oh, I just picked it up. I looked around for a little bit. I walked through the cars to see if anybody is sitting in the car close by. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see anybody. So I opened it up, checked your ID, opened your phone, but I couldn't get into your phone. And so I checked the medical information.
No one can, by the way.
Number. Yeah.
It's right. A steel trap.
Today's. Yeah. So I was like, okay, what do I do now? And so I just took it into the entrance. There's that lady that stands there. So I was like, I just found this, thinking that you'll probably realize at some point you lost it and go back. And then I thought, okay, well, now I got to find you on Facebook. But if you're not friends on Facebook and you message the person, they don't automatically get
That's
the
right.
message. You have to go search for it. And so I messaged him, and then I saw he's in a relationship with Lillian. So I messaged her, but I thought, oh, it's the same thing. She won't really get it. And so I went on her page and I was able to comment on her post. And I just messaged her and said, I DM'd you. Please check your messages. I found Guy's wallet. And she called me within a few minutes later on Facebook Messenger, and we were able to figure out how to get the wallet back to him.
Michelle, we are calling you G's guardian angel because you don't understand how, I think he's much more upset about his phone than his wallet. His phone is like an appendage. His phone is usually glued to him. And there's, when I joke that no one can crack his phone because there's just stuff in there that probably no one should see. But it's just the most valuable thing. or one of the most valuable things in G's life. So, G, I want to point out that our listeners have, Michelle, last week we talked about this very thing. Someone found in Issaquah, someone found $10,000 scattered all over the road. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember. And his reward for returning that large amount of cash was a bottle of homemade applesauce. And G was not impressed. And this is what he said.
Applesauce has nothing to do with you getting your money back. Nah, you give them 20%, 200.
Man,
that's
20%. 20%.
Okay, so not to put you on the spot.
20% of your phone.
And I'm sure Michelle wasn't looking to see how much cash you had in there, but gee.
No, actually I didn't. My husband asked me the same thing, and I said, I didn't check that at all. I just wanted to get it back to the person as soon as possible.
You are an angel, and you are really someone that we should all aspire to be. And I say that, and I know everyone should just do it automatically, but not everyone does. And it's awesome that the only thing that you thought of is getting it back to G. And I just want to thank you as his friend.
Hey, Michelle, do you like applesauce?
I mean, I think my kids like it more than I do, but I'm not opposed to it.
Okay. All right. Here's another question for you. So I was looking at it. You found my wallet. And so you found my new cell phone.
Yeah.
So I did the figures on that, Ursula. Comes to $1,500. So 20% of that, Ursula, since you and the listeners, and I can't believe you pulled out the receipt. That's just low.
That's 300 buckaroos, low. By the way.
That's $300. So, Michelle, how about this? Do you like the Seahawks?
I do.
Okay. Tell you what. When that day comes, which I do believe that it'll happen this year, I do believe that there'll be some fans that say, we'll see, fingers crossed. But if there is a time for the Seahawks to have a game this season, I will give you two tickets to a game. That's on me. I will also give you $250 to the Seahawks gift store. That's on me. And I will give you $250 to spend for the day on me. And that's for being a huge thank you for returning my stuff. You're amazing. Thank you so much.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Michelle Coquet, my new guardian angel that found my wallet and cell phone. You guys are listening to the G and Ursula Show.